So we are doing Adilila, chapter 17, verse 2, 1, 3, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in his youth. Sir, you are the ruler of this town. Whether Hindu or Muslim, everyone is under your protection. Therefore, please call Nimai Pandit and make him leave the town. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The word Thakura has two meanings. One meaning is God or a godly person. And another meaning is Kshatriya. Here the Pashandi Brahmins address the Qazi as Thakur, considering him the ruler of the town. There are different names by which to address the members of different castes. The Brahmins are addressed as Maharaj, the Kshatriyas as Thakur, the Vaishyas as Seth Mahajan, or Mahajan, and the Shudras as Chaudhary. This etiquette is still followed in northern India, where the Kshatriyas are addressed as Thakur Saheb. The Pashandis went so far as to request the magistrate or Qazi to have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expelled from the town because of his introducing Harinam Sankirtan. Fortunately, our Hare Krishna movement all over the world, especially in the civilized world of Europe and America, has become very popular. Generally, no one complains against us to have us removed from a city. Although such an attempt was indeed made in Melbourne, Australia, the attempt failed. Thus, we are now introducing this Hare Krishna movement in great cities of the world like New York, London, Paris, Tokyo, Sydney, Melbourne, and Auckland. And by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything is going on nicely. People are happy to accept the principle of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and the result is most satisfactory. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripye Pancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Abhevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Is anybody here for the first time? No? Good. Just checking. So this is a very interesting verse. And actually this whole section of CC I find really interesting because one thing I find really intriguing about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes is they are completely, they break down all barriers to do with gender, caste, color, creed, everything in terms of coming close to Krishna. If you look in all of other Krishna's incarnations, generally his associates will be of Vaishnava families, Brahmin families. They will be of the same ilk. But if you look as in his pastimes as Lord Chaitanya, they're from all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of ages, all sorts of colors, and all sorts of jobs. And this verse, and actually this particular pastime, is one of many which highlights this point. So what I thought I'd do is just give a quick synopsis of where we're at in terms of CC, to give this verse some context. Because if you read the verse, sir, you are the ruler of this town. Whether Hindu or Muslim, everyone is under your protection. Therefore, please call Nimai Pandit and make him leave the town. This is Pashandi Hindus. These are Brahmins asking a Muslim leader to remove another, apparently somebody who's following the same faith, from the town. Out of context, it doesn't make any sense. So we'll go through the pastime. And then there were three main points that I wanted to raise with your permission and actually with your contribution, because I'm not feeling so great, so you guys could maybe help me out with the class a little bit. I've had flu for the last few days, so forgive me if my voice starts to break part of the way through. So first one is that, you know, as I've already mentioned, coming close to Krishna or having a deep connection with Krishna is independent even of what religion we are. The second point I want to look at is that this verse also, in some ways in the context of this pastime, raises the characteristics of a good leader and the relationship that the holy names have with those characteristics. Thirdly, that our attachments to position are largely relational. They're not actually so much to do with the position. The position masks what we all hanker for, is relationship. And then right at the end, maybe a little bit of discussion about the relevance of Sankirtan today and Harinam today. And I say discussion with the deepest of respect. I have no intention of saying it shouldn't happen, but I hear many things about how it should happen, so I thought this might be a nice forum to discuss it. So where we're at in terms of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya is approximately 16 years old, and he has just begun or is really introducing Harinam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of Harinam publicly, like soothing music for the soul. There's no force to join. But he's distributing it like a contagious magical formula. Okay, music is contagious, not just for its melody, but also the message it carries. So transcendental music is even more contagious, but contagious in a beneficial way, not like infections. So he's introducing this. And Kazi, as Prabhupada has mentioned, is the magistrate. So at that time, you know, a lot of India was under Islamic rule. So the towns and villages often had magistrates and leaders who were Muslims. And so the Qazi, as the magistrate, was responsible for the happiness and the protection of the people. And Srila Prabhupada explains in other classes on this particular verse that at the time, the Muslims had imposed that if you were Hindu and you continued practicing Hinduism, you would have to pay big taxes. And so many Hindus would convert to Islam to avoid paying taxes. Also, the way you could convert to Islam was very easy. It was just done with sprinkling some water, and you could convert from Hinduism to Islam. At the same time, there were also many Brahmins, as Srila Prabhupada has described them as Pashandi Brahmins. So Pashandi Brahmins, anybody know what Pashandi Brahmin is? Yes, so they see demigod worship. So they're not necessarily so learned, but they're very attached to their role or position as a Brahmin, particularly based on birth and rituals and coveting the not just spiritual, but the material potency and opulence you get from praying, from performing yagyas. So they're very attached to that. They don't want anybody else really to steal their thunder. So they go to complain to the Chandkazi, the magistrate, saying, you know, since this boy Nimai Pandit has come to town or returned to town, he used to be such a good boy when he was younger, you know, very logical, very smart, used to have wonderful discussions. Now since he's come back, he's dancing around like a madman. He's getting everybody to sing these songs. Even we end up singing these songs. We can't help it. You know, even your guards are singing these songs. They can't help it. And they keep chanting Hari Hari, Krishna Krishna. And everybody's ecstatic and happy. And nobody's paying any attention to us anymore. He's causing a great disturbance. Can you please get rid of him? So initially, in his role as a leader, wanting to protect and make his citizens happy, he obliges. And he says, okay, no disturbance in my town. I shall go and rule out Harinam and say this cannot be allowed anymore. And Prabhupada actually describes the first Harinams as our first civil rights movement. Lord Chaitanya introduced the first civil rights movement, so civil revolution. I am giving a synopsis. So in this regard, he then goes and actually bans Harinam Sankirtan from the town and goes so far as smashing Shivas Thakur's Mridanga and makes a very clear point that no, this will not continue anymore. You are disturbing the residents of this town, many who have been here for a long time and who are important for the way our society and our community functions. So when Lord Chaitanya hears about this, he says, well, actually, there is no societal injunction against chanting the Lord's names. It is not just for a few people. In fact, Krishna is available to everybody. So we shall go out in hordes, hundreds and thousands. And there's a beautiful description in this section of the kind of Harinam parties, kind of like our Rath Yatras. You know, when we have Rath Yatra, even though there's a few thousand of us, we have small groups of kirtan within one big kirtan. And so everywhere you go, you can hear a different melody. It doesn't matter if you're at the front or the back or the middle. There's this wonderful Harinam full of devotion, full of melody, full of heartfelt love. And you can be really part of it with, and it's very perfectly coordinated. That's one of the things that struck me about Rath Yatra. The bigger it gets, the more coordinated we seem to get, not less coordinated, and we just have more Harinam parties within one massive one. So taking his Harinam party to the Chand Ghazi, he approaches him to discuss and actually chastise him about why he is stopping Harinam in the streets. So when he first arrives, there is some dialogue between the two of them, because at first the Chand Ghazi is not very warm and welcoming. And then they have a dialogue over, actually what Prabhupada explains is, at that time, especially before the British Raj, Hindus and Muslims actually lived, you know, in harmony. And we see that even in Mayapur today and in Jagannath Puri, there are pockets where there is still harmony between Vaishnavs and Muslims. And I'm even told some of the cooks for Jagannath are Muslims. So Prabhupada explains that, so they would call each other Chacha. And so the Chand Ghazi would refer to Lord Chaitanya's grandfather as Chacha. So in this way, he was trying to pacify Lord Chaitanya's anger. Anyway, a philosophical discussion ensues, and they discuss some philosophical similarities and differences between the Vedas and the Quran. I won't go into those now. I know they've been discussed at previous classes. And, you know, for me, this, when Nishkinchana asked me to do this verse, I thought it was very interesting because we're even more interesting in terms of, for me personally, because we're actually making a documentary with the BBC about this very topic on the influences that Vaishnavism has had on Islam. So it's just, I don't know, I felt like it was Krishna's arrangement forcing me to kind of dive into this topic a little deeper. So anyway, in the background, alongside this discussion, Chand Ghazi had a dream where Lord Nrisimhadev had come to him and had scratched him on the chest and ferociously and lovingly attacked him and telling him, look, you can't stop Harinam Sankirtan and it must go on. And so we are in the section of the conversation where Chand Ghazi is actually now explaining to Lord Chaitanya, has been over the last few verses, what's been happening, what happened to him, what his experience was after he tried to stop Harinam. He tells him about the dream. He also then tells him, now he's telling him about why he actually stopped it in the first place. So this is the context to this particular verse. It's in the middle of a conversation where Chand Ghazi is explaining, as a leader, this is the complaint that I was getting. This is why I originally stopped the Harinam. And he actually goes on to then declare that, actually, I will, not just for this generation, but any descendant of mine who takes birth in this town, I will say that they cannot, I will declare that they cannot stop Harinam Sankirtan. And Prabhupada explains this in following purports that actually even today, the Chandkazi's relations, they do not ever stop the Harinam Sankirtan. And there's a really nice pastime. One of our sannyasis was sharing with us that he was chanting in Chandkazi's Samadhi in Mayapur. And while he was chanting, this very, very tall, he was explaining, very tall, like maybe 6 foot three, 6 foot four, perhaps even taller, long beard, you know, looked very obviously externally like a Muslim, but he said he was very effulgent. He almost looked like a demigod. And he said he approached him while he was chanting at Chandkazi's Samadhi. And he noticed he had a bead bag around his neck. And he asked him, he said, he said, Hare Krishna. And the Islamic person, the Muslim, approached him. He said, are you from ISKCON? They started a dialogue. And as the dialogue ensued, he didn't mention anything about being Muslim or anything. So Maharaj asked him, do you chant? You know, I notice you have a bead bag, but you look externally very Muslim. He goes, yes, I'm a descendant of Chandkazi. And I'm the 10th generation, I think he said. And he said, every single generation since the Chandkazi has chanted the Hare Krishna mantra. So we're Muslims, but we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So it was very nice to hear a very present day experience of how what Srila Prabhupada is describing and what Lord Chaitanya started off and propagated is still very alive. So in this verse, when the Brahmins, the Prachandi Brahmins, are approaching the Chandkazi, asking him to stop the Harinam Sankirtan, why are they doing so? I mean, I asked if anyone here was new for a reason, to see how much I needed to go over the preliminary things, but most of you here are quite familiar with our philosophy and probably have read the Chaitanya Charitamrita a few times. So why, other than the fact that they were disturbed, why were they disturbed? Why would they be so disturbed that they would actually want something which is actually prescribed in Shastra, something they do themselves, to be stopped? Why does that happen? Why do we sometimes get more resistance from supposedly our own kind? I mean, some of us have had that maybe in our families, especially those who maybe come from even Indian families or Vaishnava families. What to speak of if you don't come from a family which is culturally in sync with chanting? Sometimes we get the greatest resistance from those close to us. Isn't that right? Sometimes we're told, you know, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time praying? What is this dancing in the street that you do? Why do you have to do it so publicly? Why do you have to give it so much prominence in your life? You know, you're young. Your life is about earning money, have children, get married, have a good job, do something for the planet. Don't waste your time chanting. So anybody want to share something? Why do we get the greatest resistance sometimes from those who are closest to us? Okay. Okay, that's a nice point. So sometimes, because we are doing, you know, devoting our lives to Krishna, it makes others, it makes those who are in our families or close to us, who maybe identify with religion as a cultural identity more than a spiritual identity, it may make them very consciously and acutely aware of their lackings, right? That can also happen to us. We sometimes seek out association, not always for upliftment, but if we're going through a weak patch, sometimes we will attract and even seek out association that will not make us feel bad about not being in such a great place. Okay, so that's one point. Why else might we get resistance? Okay, can you say more? I think the devotees there can't hear people. Oh, okay.
So like if
I think he's got a mic.
So
he's
like
gonna.
If my dad's had a good job and growing up, and had nice life growing up materially, and his child growing up is gonna be thinking, oh, I want the same from him. Like, go to school, make sure you get a good education, and like get a good job so you can come out and like get a good wife, that kind of stuff. He's gonna make sure he stays in line to get similar, probably even better, you know, materially.
So it's about fulfilling expectations as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Mataji, do you want the mic?
No.
No? Okay. Yeah, so destabilizing of position and boundaries. Yeah, people don't like that. A tradition which isn't really rooted in Shastra, because Krishna is very clear in the Bhagavad Gita that our varna is based on nature and training. It's not based just on birth. You know, from birth we might have a particular nature, but unless we also have training in that regard, we are not automatically a Brahmin as soon as we're born. We're not automatically a Vaishya as soon as we're born, or Kshatriya, etc., etc. But one thing we all are at all times, whether we are born or dying, is always in relationship with Krishna, whether we are conscious of that or not. So this is the principle that Lord Chaitanya was going on. That actually, it doesn't matter if you call yourself a Muslim, a Hindu, a Christian, a Jew. Your relationship with Krishna is your relationship with Krishna. And to the degree that you access it, to that degree, you will feel not just uplifted and grounded, but you will be less disturbed by all of these fluctuations in boundaries and position. Because actually what the Brahmins were disturbed about is not just their position, but what does position mean to us? We really only have a position in relationship with others. Isn't that right? Any position or role we have, you know, we talk about this anartha of attachment to fame and adoration and distinction and position. But the fame, adoration, distinction, position is all relational. Nobody wants to be a leader of a group of people consisting of zero. Right, okay, you can be the prime minister of this country, but you have no citizens. Hang on a minute, where's my relationships with others as a leader? Nobody wants to do that. So, you know, the Chand Ghazi, however, when he is approached by the Pashandi Brahmins, he is thinking like a leader. He's thinking like a leader, thinking, okay, it's my job to protect you. It's my job to make you happy. How can I do that in this current circumstance? You are very disturbed. From your explanation, this person's a madman. And yes, he is causing disturbance. And hang on, what if I also lose my position if I allow this to continue? If you are correct in saying that these words that he's giving everybody are so magical that people lose themselves, and actually people who have no right to access love of God are achieving love of God, then, you know, maybe he's a dangerous man. Right? Somebody to lose their position can feel like a very dangerous thing. So he agrees. But what does Lord Chaitanya do? And what does Lord Chaitanya say? Does anybody know that really in these verses explains how the Chand Ghazi is able to transform and purify his leadership to give his subordinates the highest benefit? What is it that the Chand Ghazi has been doing all this time in conversation and what people have been doing inadvertently? The townspeople. What do people do inadvertently when we go on Harinam? Why do we go on Harinam? Why do we go on Harinam? How? How do we preach? We chant. So how is that preaching? How is us chanting and singing preaching?
The holy name
for chanting. So hearing the holy name, what does that do? What has it done for the Chand Ghazi now? That
purified
it has
them.
What do we mean by purify? We use the word purify all the time.
They've been shouting Hari, Hari.
Okay. But what does shouting Hari, Hari do? What is it purifying us of?
Reconnect.
Within the name goes in and starts removing the dirt from the false ego.
So the true... Okay. Okay, so it's a dissolution of the false temporary ego and an emergence of the real self, which is us crying out for, I want to be somebody to someone. Yes? And that's our permanent, I am somebody to someone. So Lord Chaitanya explains to Chandragazi that just by uttering, it's really beautiful as this progresses there. Their initial discussion starts off with, you know, some angst and then some conflict and then some explanation, and then it becomes very gentle. And Lord Chaitanya is very gentle, and he touches him. It's described how he touches him gently and explains that because, you know, you have chanted, even those handful of times, with whichever mood, because of Lord Chaitanya's mercy and benediction, he says, your consciousness is purified and you know what to do. All these fears, these worries you have about keeping your citizens happy, you're actually understanding how to do that in the long term. So I have a question for you. I'm going to make use of this board, if that's okay. Nishkin Shiparu, do you have the marker and maybe something to rub this off with? Could I ask all of you to think about what are three key duties for every leader? Because, I mean, leadership, we understand this through Shastra, is, and also through experience, that leadership is more a way of being. It's not about position. We all have a leadership role because we always have someone who is looking up to us, whether we are aware of it or not. And in fact, if we're aware of it, we almost have a greater responsibility. But if we don't, thank you, Prabhu. If we aren't aware of it, you know, certainly we should be, that there's always somebody who is looking up to us, just as there's always someone we will look up to. So we're all leaders. What are the three main, I guess, duties or responsibilities we all have as leaders? And it doesn't matter if you're responsible for 100 people, 1,000, 5, 1. It doesn't matter. Or even your own mind, because we should be leading our own minds as well. What are three key ones, or your top three? I'm going to put them on the board while you have a think. I will rub this out. Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, I think I'm quite loud. Did I hear someone say protection? Protection. Okay, what we'll do is I'll take all your suggestions and then we'll pick our top three. Did someone say prashad? Sorry,
Paramatma.
That's the role. Okay, so walk the talk.
Education.
Walk the talk.
Good role model.
Role model. Someone said education?
Yeah.
Guidance? What kind of guidance? Material and spiritual guidance. Sensitivity to our needs? Okay. Engage us according to nature. Okay. Have I missed? I know a few people said different things and I don't have everything on the board.
Love?
Love? To lead. What does that mean? So that's my question. What does it mean to lead? So we have love, protection, walk the talk, be a role model, educate, material and spiritually educate and guide, to be sensitive to our needs, and engage us according to our nature.
Take initiative.
Take initiative. Okay. With what? Everything? Okay. Always take initiative. Take initiative. Authority, direction, maintain, encourage, integrity. Okay, integrity. Wow, we are quite demanding of our leaders. Are we demanding of ourselves like this? Integrity, encourage, inspire. Okay, there's no space to write anything else. Okay. If I said to pick three, what would be your top three? Now, if I ask you as a group, you're just going to all call out at the same time. So I'm just going to ask for a show of hands, because some of them say similar things. So protection. Okay, there's a lot of you who said protection. Walk the talk. Okay. Role model. I think walk the talk and role model are the same thing. Okay, I'm going to put education, material, spiritual, guidance together. Okay, how about that? Okay, a few. Sensitive to our needs and engage us according to our nature. Okay, only a couple of you. Okay. Always take the initiative. You have to put your hand up for that. You suggested it. Okay. Love. Love. Okay. So not everybody's bothered whether the leader loves you. What kind of leader? Well, I'm asking about leadership in general, because we're all leaders. And we're all led by someone. And outside of the specific remit of the leader, what is it in general? What are some of the general principles that make a good leader? So love, a few of you put your hand up. Integrity, I think, goes with walk the talk. Encourage and inspire goes with sensitivity and engage us according to our nature. What would you say are the three biggest obstacles to being a good leader?
Self-interest.
Okay. Self-interest. What do you mean by pride? Okay. So kind of like an arrogance? Arrogance, yeah? Okay. Arrogance and control. Okay. So... Okay, you think that's a weakness. Okay, so they're not taking themselves. So they're not taking.
They're alienated, or they feel that they don't need.
Okay.
You know, shelter and social.
Lack of support. And I'm going to put intentional. Because it can also happen that they have a lack of support because it's not available.
Control freak.
Control freak, okay. Oh, put freak next to it? Okay. Manipulates. Okay, would that... I would say that goes with self-interest, yes? They don't listen. Don't listen. Corruption and dishonesty. So lying and...
Unresolved personal issues.
Okay. Unresolved issues, impersonal. So essentially, everything you're saying in terms of the weaknesses of a leader are the opposite of all of these. Okay? How does, and this isn't a trick question or a philosophical conundrum, there's actually a science to this. How does engaging in a spiritual process, and particularly chanting, move us from here, which are clearly anarthas. Okay, these are widespread anarthas, regardless of whether you have a big leadership role, a small leadership role, or you're just simply human and living in this world in Kaliyug. Okay, these things can creep up on all of us. Because actually, self-interest is important, but it's which self are we interested in, right? So how does chanting get a leader off this place and into this space? Sorry? By developing humility. Can you say more? How is chanting a catalyst for developing humility? Okay, so chanting as a process for clearing these in terms of anartha nivritti?
Basically, chanting is on a transcendental platform, and all these qualities on the left, some of them are qualities of the Lord of goodness. So chanting gets one to the transcendental platform, and these qualities come naturally.
Okay, so the qualities will come naturally as part of the process. I don't need that one now. Okay, I want to come back to this someone to somebody. When you say spiritual platform, why does that naturally, when we are more on a spiritual platform, identifying more with who we are spiritually, why does that naturally make us a better leader? That's not just to yourself, just generally. Why? Because it okay. Okay, so we become servant leaders when we're coming from a spiritual... I'm a spiritual someone, okay? Bhavish, were you saying that? Okay, so we become part of... We're on the same side. We don't have to be defending all the time. There's no one higher or lower. And at the same time, we see ourselves as the servant of everybody, which means everybody else is higher. Okay, anyone else? Okay, so Krishna's desire and will, we bring ourselves, we align ourselves with that. What is Krishna's desire and will? Okay, so Krishna wants us to be happy in an eternal fashion rather than a temporary one. Okay, how else does chanting move us, or move a leader from essentially having qualities that can destroy us rather than help us? Okay, so we're all sitting here in a room where everybody's chanting, and we all have varying leadership roles. We're all chanting, right? And I think I would say all our leaders chant too. Why do we still have issues with those amongst our leaders, or are we free of having issues with our leaders? Why do we still have it? Because we're in the material world. Okay. We're in the clear. Can you say more, Prabhu, about this clearing stage?
Sorry?
Can you say more? Share more wisdom about the clearing stage?
Well, it takes a little while. If you're chanting sincerely, I think there are some shastric injunctions that say that, well, I think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, it can be around about 20 years before you get to a state of nishtha. So, you know, that clearing stage can be a turbulent time as stuff comes up. It can be painful, it can be ugly, it can be unpleasant. And these unpleasantnesses, you know, we have to quickly pass over them and through them, and others have to allow us and empower us to do that as well. Otherwise, it can go on and on and on. If people identify with the bad things that we do sometimes, or the mistakes we make sometimes, it can prolong the process by which we stay in that malaise.
Thank you. So no.
When we come to chanting the holy name, we start to become more conscious of ourselves, of the qualities we have, and our own misgivings. So part of the process of chanting, it will remove some of those anarthas. But some anarthas, they need to be picked out ourselves. They need to be something we need to work on and develop.
as qualities, they may not just come so naturally. Another reason why they may not come naturally is we may have attachments to some of the other negative sides there. So it's like we're holding on two sides, and until we learn to choose like a side, either developing the positive qualities or letting go of the negative qualities, then even if you're chanting, if you still have that attachment, then it's like Krishna's pulling you one way, but you're holding yourself back. And therefore, even though the chanting's helping, until you let go, you know, it's not able to fully immerse yourself.
That's a nice explanation. So Anartha Nivritti is just as much about letting go as it is about having things removed. Vishwam Prabhu? Is it not working? There you go.
You learn to do service instead of listening to your mind.
Okay. So your mind starts to take less control. Okay.
Yeah, you start getting engaged in service instead of saying, oh, what should I do? Should I go shop, party, and whatever?
Okay.
I was reflecting on the same line of Jayadeva Prabhu, Jiva Mukta Sa Uchate. You know, we... even though we are, because a leader doesn't mean a pure devotee. You have a leader with a lot of anartha and defect, and that you can have, you know, a pot washer much more pure than a leader. I just came from a few days ago, you know, from the European leaders, but it doesn't make myself better than the rest of the society. I think this process of chanting, it's for everybody. From the new Bhakta George to the guru or an acharya in ISKCON. And I think, like you said before, charity begins at home. We can start to lead our senses, our mind first, purify ourselves with our chanting, and then our leadership scales, they will have more effect. That's what, that's my penny contribution.
So as we are more in control of our mind and our senses and our true self emerges, then our leadership skills will automatically become better. So leadership with love. Do we show ourselves enough love? Because sometimes what can happen is, you know, we're sometimes in the opposite situation here. So here we were presented with somebody who isn't initially yet on the platform of understanding the difference between spirit, soul, and the body, and then becomes transformed and allows chanting. We haven't had an issue with being allowed to chant. We're in an organization where, you know, we're constantly reminded to chant, but yet we're disappointed by our leaders. And sometimes being disappointed by our leaders causes people to become weak in their faith or their practice and move away from the actual solution to the problem. Yeah, I mean, you're all very clearly saying chanting is the solution because, you know, everybody has to go through the clearing stage, whether we're following someone, whether we're, you know, whether we're a leader, everybody has to go through this clearing stage. This point that I raised earlier about being somebody or someone to somebody is actually our real life. It is the real life everybody seeks. I know in my work I meet all sorts of personalities, and these days every type of personality also has a disorder named with it. And they're essentially, there's a spectrum of issues people can have with relating to each other, either their issues are based on difficulties with emotional processing or intellectual processing or trauma and difficulties from earlier on in life. Or they have issues with, you know, there's been no trauma, there's no biological, emotional or, you know, psychological issue, but they've become like that because their work has absorbed them, or they don't have time, or they've become distracted by money, or they've become distracted by chasing after something. But whatever it is, whatever the obstruction is, that people are still seeking, we all seek the same thing, relationship. We either seek better relationship through our job, or a better relationship through a particular position, or a better relationship through a particular physical attribute, or an educational attribute. Leadership is just often another way for people to, you know, we look at Varna, what role do you want to play in this world? It's often based on relationship. We forget and we get distracted by the superficial thing that comes with it, but it's our way of connecting with each other. What role do I have in this world to connect with other people? Even the person who is introverted and doesn't like to be around a lot of other people still feels a sense of community and a sense of connection as long as you're not in their face too much. Right? When they get overwhelmed, that's when they feel disconnected. But it is still that connection we're seeking. So for me, this verse really was highlighting this. Pashandi Brahmins, why are they disturbed? Because they're in their life, their being somebody to someone is fully manifest when they're playing the role of the Pashandi Brahmin. They haven't yet accessed being someone to Krishna. Okay, and this is the beautiful thing that we have been offered by Srila Prabhupada is, here, chant, you follow the process I've given you, the process that Lord Chaitanya has given us, and we will all very quickly, not just realize, but actually experience, not just know theoretically in an abstract way because of philosophy and we know the stages, etc., but we'll start to really have an experience of, I am someone to Krishna. It's not just that Krishna is someone to me. And if we don't have even glimpses of the I am someone to Krishna, then it becomes really dry. Spiritual life becomes very dry. It becomes very theoretical. Because what happens is, if we don't start to experience that I am someone to Krishna in a more emotional and actually spiritual level as well, then quickly we start to then latch onto being someone to somebody, even within the organization, right? It's one of the reasons why sometimes we're poor at succession planning with services, okay? It might be the reason why even when a particular service has come to a natural end and somebody else should be taking over, even if it's not a big leadership position, it's just your little, could even be your pot washing service or cleaning Prabhupada's rooms. It's not anybody else sees you do it, but we struggle to let it go because it's become our way to be someone to somebody. But as we live more in being, I am someone to Krishna, I am someone to Radharani, I am someone to Balaram, Mother Yashoda, as we live more in that, then yes, we are also always someone to somebody here as well. And it's important, it's healthy, it keeps our community alive. But it's enriched when we live in, I am someone to Krishna. Yeah, and so this is where chanting is important, because when all the, and this is the thing with chanting, right? We're not told this when we first start, that actually one of the things chanting does, and another way to look at anartha nivritti, is it starts to break down us being someone to somebody in our temporary relationships. And not, it doesn't always have to happen in a difficult, unpleasant way. Sometimes it happens in a very natural, organic way. We, you know, become distant from people because our interests are different. You know, our services might be different. We might move geographically. Other times, you know, don't we often hear that Krishna really bestows mercy when he takes everything away from us? And often it might be masked as things are being taken away from us, but often it's the relational bit that's being taken away from us. The number one thing people are most scared of is loneliness. It doesn't matter how much affluence you have. It doesn't matter how much beauty, fame, power, however high up you have, the biggest thing people are scared of is being alone. And we are never alone. So this being someone to Krishna is, Prabhupada explains this is, and that someone is, I'm servant of Krishna, but Krishna's servant is someone. You know, even if we look at our five rasas, even those in Dasyara, they have names. You know, they're named, we have names. Even if we are a servant of Krishna, even if we're in neutrality, we are alive. You know, spiritual life is a multi-sensory experience. If we're feeling flat, it means that being someone to Krishna is not coming alive yet. And the thing is, we don't have to wait for anartha nivritti to be complete before we experience that. Okay? We won't experience it fully until anartha nivritti is complete. We know the science of Shraddha to Prem, that it's really only at prema fully manifests, being someone to Krishna. But even before that, even before Nishtha, we get taste, we get glimmers. What is it that keeps us still chanting? Because when we've really connected, either through the mercy of a Vaishnav or through the japa, we've felt that connection of, oh, I'm someone to Krishna. Otherwise we wouldn't feel his presence. Why would he be present for someone who isn't someone to him? Right? We mean something to him. And, you know, just like we meditate on him, he meditates on us. So, yes, we will, you know, we have a good idea of what makes a wonderful leader. Some of us are really want the love, integrity, encouragement. Some of us want more. Okay, I want somebody who can be educate me and guide me. Others want more for, you know, the role model, etc. Others want someone who's just and fair and knows all the facts before they make a decision. We'll always have these quirks because of our own psychosocial natures are so different. But ultimately, there will always be a leader who will disappoint us, either within or without, because that is also part of our process of the chanting, working on breaking our relationships of temporary. Yeah, the temporary someone to somebody. Because we're also someone to somebody when we are following someone, not just when we're leading them. So, just last want to kind of come to this, the point I made earlier. Just for discussion, I've had a couple of people make a comment recently that, you know, is Harinam for today? You know, Harinam 500 years ago, we can see that. Even in the 70s, we can see it. You know, people could wear, you know, bright clothes and flowers in their hair. And, you know, it was, a time for civil revolt. We're going to do something different. But we are now in a time where, you know, is going on Harinam the most effective way to distribute the holy name? Should we be a little bit more like everybody else? And this is nothing to do with my opinion. You know, I certainly am pro Harinam. I love Harinam. This is more a discussion just for us to, you know, because we have a particular way of doing things. There's no point in denying it. We do have a particular way of doing things. And some of the things we do fit very well with the outside world. They're even fashionable, right? A lot of what we do has fit very nicely with the yoga world. And yoga is fashionable at the moment. Even our diet is fashionable at the moment, isn't it? Right? But some of the things we do aren't so fashionable. And fashions come and go. I'm sure there'll come a time where being vegetarian and doing yoga won't be fashionable anymore. But we'll still keep going, right? Where does Harinam have a role now? Why is it still important today? Shintirta?
I think basically there will always be different types of people. And as a society, we need to be able to provide opportunities for all those kinds of people. So there will be intellectual people who may not so much resonate with jumping on the street, but there will be some people who appreciate that more. So as a society, we need to provide for all those kinds of people. I think the problem comes when internally we start to fight with each other. This is the only way, and this is the way to go. And that's the problem, because we're not united. How are we going to appreciate the fact that the whole idea of Anashram is that different people have different psychophysical makeups and they need to be engaged accordingly. So someone would prefer to stand on the street in the freezing cold and cause that isn't enthusiasm. Someone else prefers to be in a corporate conference room and sharing Krishna consciousness that way. So let them do that. And together we'll preach.
So because we're unique, Harinam serves the purpose of providing something for people across the board.
It's not a case of is it the best way in this day and age. It may not be, because objectively and subjectively we have to address that.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? This Prabhu first and then Mataji, is that okay?
So I think because we are in Kali Yuga and Tanas and Vajna, people are ignorant of what is it to be simple, to chant, to dance, to eat vegetarian. So we have to show to give them prasad and holy name and books and education, the luck to be in simple life, to go out them conditionment and bondage.
So we go out and provide a solution even if people aren't asking for it. Okay. It's like spraying a vaccine. Okay.
Okay. I mean, this is a topic that I get talk about quite a lot.
Okay.
I've written about it as well. Here's one thing to think about. Very often when I go out in Haranam a lot, very often I meet people and they say, oh, we haven't seen you guys for decades, right?
Oh, okay.
So I'm looking at it this way. I spoke to Kupa Wife about what was the movement like in the 70s. He said there was less than 100 full-time devotees, but most of their service was out on the street. So the Hare Krishna movement was well known.
Mm.
And that's with no funding, no Hindu congregational support, just 100 people. Now we have thousands, all the financial support. So I think if we did the same commitment to having this street presence, then the Hare Krishna would become a household name once again. So, and regarding different types of preaching, we do have to consider yoga preaching, very nice, but that's fine as long as you're in the yoga scene, which is a very small minority. Any type of Hindu preaching, it's also a very small minority. And book distribution is very good, but it's also one-to-one contact, so it's going to take forever to meet everyone. Harinam is just like, it just sprays out a whole, it's very prominent, and it's not about a decision that people have to make to come to a program. Because most of the other programs we have are indoors. Very good kirtan indoor programs, but you have to first of all make the decision to go. Whereas if you're out in the street, it's more proactive. You're just giving people the holy name without them deciding to either take it or not. They're just going to take it anyway, and they're going to appreciate it or not, as the case may be.
Thank you. Does anybody else want to? Okay. Nishkanchan, are you putting your hand up to tell me to stop?
No, just to add on to what Govind Prabhu was saying as well, that also, I mean, from a contemporary perspective, we can see as well that, you know, direct marketing is still considered one of the most effective form of marketings, which is why, you know, on the streets you have charity, promoters, of course, there's book distribution, door-to-door, all these things going on, because it's still very effective. Also, from a scriptural perspective, I was thinking, when you look at the CC, there's whole sections given to Harinam, like, you know, the Harinam pastimes.
Yes.
More so than, obviously, you know, they mention about book distribution, you know, the three devotees, Srinivasachara, Narottama.
Yeah. And this whole section is about Harinam.
Yeah, exactly. So even though there is mention about books and other forms, academics preaching, you know, like debating with the scholars of the day, but there's so much emphasis given on, you know, the Beda Kirtan and this and that and all this kind of thing. So I think from a scriptural perspective, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the scriptures put so much emphasis on Harinam as a form of giving Krishna consciousness, we have to give credence to that, even if our minds might not think it's effective now. There must be something deeper there, why the great personalities have given so much emphasis to it.
That, do you know what? Thank you so much for sharing that, because it just helped me reflect on this being somebody to Krishna, being somebody to Lord Chaitanya, isn't just about an internal feeling. It's also about what we're doing with our external time. And we don't have to be anybody in this world to be able to go on Harinam. But when we go on Harinam, we actually have a very tangible experience of being somebody in Lord Chaitanya's movement. Nishinga Tirtha Prabhu, then Sutta Prabhu, sorry. And then I'm conscious
ultimately,
that being so,
ultimately, I think everyone can agree that the holy name is the most powerful thing. It's the Yuga Dharma. Everyone agrees that bringing people to chanting is what we're all trying to do, what we should be trying to do. But the issue sometimes comes is when we're not able to appreciate that other people may be inspired to give Krishna consciousness in other ways that we may not be comfortable or may not relate to. You know, and if Krishna can appreciate the fact that we're all individuals and we have our own individual way of sharing Krishna consciousness, why can't we do that? And I think the problem is it's not so much that we disagree that Harinam should be done and should be maintained. It's just the approach that sometimes we use to make that point. Well, a lot of the time we tend to alienate people and make people feel uncomfortable because they are inspired to share Krishna consciousness in another way that we cannot relate to.
Mm.
I think that, again, the point about leadership, you have to be able to appreciate everyone's contribution.
Yes, diversity.
Because if you can do that, then they'll also appreciate what you're trying to do with the Harinam, and they'll also join you willingly.
So a leader should appreciate diversity. That's wonderful. Okay. Sita Prabhu.
I think sometimes we often ask each other the question, how did you become a devotee? And then we do all these kind of surveys to say this many devotees came from this or this many devotees came from this. And what it seems to me is that if we actually look closely, then it was a series of experiences and a series of exposures to different aspects of Krishna consciousness that made you a devotee. And Harinam, I think, is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
So I think instead of seeing preaching activities in isolation of each other, I think we got to see them all as different steps and stages on a life cycle, and just have as many things as possible that build on people's positive kind of attraction towards Krishna. So I think we just need to see that everything plays its part in the life cycle. And
spoken like a leader. So.
It has been recognized after so many. Actually, Srila Prabhupada was the one to founder the seventh purpose of ISKCON. And Harinam chanting, systematically propagating the holy name of God, which is something that every religions they do respectively to their God. And therefore, it's the beginning of our movement when Prabhupada, you know, came to the West. You know, he started the activity, his missionary activity with chanting, and it's the chanting that actually ultimately deliver the people when they die. It's not even a book distribution or prasadam, which is, these are the three missionary activity powerful, because prasada leads people to chant. Books, you read them and leads people to chant. Mm. That's why it's called Brihat Mridanga. Ultimately, the Harinam is the Yoga Dharma, is the beginning and the end. It's just like Lord Brahma, sound vibration, you know, tapa. Mm. It was the beginning of entanglement for everybody. And the holy name...
Entanglement.
It's the holy name is the cause, the catalyst principle to deliver. The same sound vibration delivers everyone from this world. That's my contribution.
That's nice. There. Thank you. Govinda, did you want to... And we'll have a couple more points and then I'll just wrap up.
I think we also have to, as a community, we have to be careful we don't sort of cheat ourselves out of the wealth of Harinam. Just make an observation. And I've worked it out. I mean, people have various reasons for not going on Harinam. Sometimes they're good reasons. They're preaching in other ways, effective ways. But a lot of people, my observation is, as a community, we're a big community, but I think we spend, on average, people spend, you know, 10 or 50 times more time watching DVDs than they go on Harinam. I've just done the calculation myself. I know what devotees' habits tend to be. So it's generally, people say to say, well, I've got no time for Harinam, but people have time for so many things. People have got time to eat three meals a day. So it means that eating's more important than Harinam for these people. So I just think we have to, like, look at ourselves and wonder why we don't have time for these activities. Hare Krishna.
We can forgive people for eating, though. It's prashadam.
Twice a day, maybe.
Okay. And the Prabhu behind you, and then I'll just close.
I was just going to make the point that as technology is moving forward and we are spending more and more time behind screens, and you can say by the number of cat videos and baby videos which we have on YouTube, people are looking for love, some warmth, some share the feeling of pleasure. But it can only give you like a certain pleasure. So the fact that they see devotees dancing on the street, singing on the street, smiling, it's a very good way of actually spreading the warmth, the energy, the spiritual experience. So Harinam is definitely one of the best ways of preaching.
So we have just to sum up some of the things you're saying, we have a spiritual transcendental vaccine and marketing, and the root of everything, but also that we see all our preaching activities as a continuum. Because, you know, when Sita Prabhu was talking about, you know, things, all the dots joining up in the end, when you ask devotees, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? I've met so many who said, oh, when I was a kid, I remember when we'd be in central London, or I was in this town or that town, and I'd see, you know, I saw these beautiful people wearing these bright clothes, and they looked so nice, and they were singing Hare Krishna, and I didn't know what it is at the time, but it was so attractive. And they have no contact for like 10, 15 years. And then when they come into contact with devotional service again, it's like a light bulb moment, but not one that is strange, but like it's already familiar. You know, so this series of planting of the seeds, watering of the seed, getting that sukriti. And I was just to close on this particular verse with the Chand Ghazi, he went through a transformation that actually allowed him to do what Bhishma Dev says about a good leader when he's instructing Yudhishthira, that alongside protecting the interests of those you're looking after and ensuring their happiness, you're also there facilitating their spiritual as well as their material happiness. And the Chand Ghazi, by adopting and accepting Lord Chaitanya's instruction, not just for his generation, but for generations beyond, not only was he fulfilling his spiritual duties as a leader and benefiting all of us, he was also serving his own, this idea of self-interest, because, you know, we know the leaders get a sixth of the collective karma of the people they're looking after. So if we want to be self-interested, whether we're leaders or not leaders, then we start with this self-interest of being someone to Krishna. And then the other things, they still require some decisiveness and some focus and some planning, but they don't feel so arduous because they're just part of the journey. So thank you very much. Thank you for your contributions. And it was really wonderful being here. Hare Krishna.
Now everyone's going on.
No, now everyone's going on. Harinam. Yeah,
including you.
Okay. Okay. I am. Age of Coral and Hypocrisy. I can't help it.
Join the chorus of the
Srila Prabhupada, Kijay, thank you so much for Hare Krishna.